And welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Ladies and gentlemen, I am bringing to you tonight a very special episode. I am recording this the evening of November 11th, which is Veterans Day. And I think it is very well suited that the guest that I have today is a veteran himself. You know him, you love him well. And you know what? I'm going to have to edit something out here because I lost my train of thought. But folks, the guest tonight, you know him, you love him, Mr. Matt Rainey. Matt, how are you?
I am doing great. And I actually forgot it was Veterans Day.
Oh. Well, I wanted to make sure that I brought that out. And that's why I was losing my train of thought, because I was actually looking for what I was going to say about veterans, because I think this is the first time that I've actually recorded on Veterans Day, and I usually never say anything about it. And this time I thought, well, maybe I should. And basically, you know, along with everybody else, we always want to thank the people that have served, are serving, and basically remember those, you know, who go out and make the sacrifice so that we can live here in the land of the free and do the things that we do and be happy about it. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah. You know, I've never, ever, ever been off on Veterans Day. Every year I say, boy, I should take off for Veterans Day.
You should. I take a half a day.
And every year, well, I did take a half a day. I'm taking off. I only work 12 hours. So the other 12 hours I have off. So,
okay.
I took off half today.
All right. Well, just I know that you served, and so I should always thank you. I know that other people in our community listening to the show have served, are serving in the, you know, reserves. You were in there, John Dubinsky, Jeff Halish, Matt Rodella is still actively serving and does his, I think he goes on his annual 2-week pilgrimage every year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I don't know if they call it pilgrimage, but yeah.
I don't know what it's called. I mean, my dad was in the Air Force, but I was not. So I don't know all the terminology.
It sounds more fun when you say pilgrimage.
Well, hey, if that gets you through it, then we'll go from there. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is not one of our regularly scheduled podcasts, but it was the one time that I could get Mr. Rainey available. So I thought, let's get him on when we get him on. This will be a special addition to the month of November. And we pretty much don't have an agenda or an outline. Not that we would follow it anyway.
Yeah, right. As usual.
But why don't we start with Matt? It's been a while. I haven't seen you since TechCon Unplugged in Michigan. So tell us what's been happening.
So I have been extremely, extremely busy. We're so backed up. I mean, as probably all of us are with the Windows 7 end of life and the servers that are end of life, I have stuff backed up. I think right now the stuff being ordered and approved is not going in until February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're so backed up, and that's just the stuff that's already ordered. That's not counting the 20 or 30 clients that have sent out quotes to replace all of their servers and all of their workstations, because of course they don't realize that all of their computers are 6, 7, 8 years old.
Yep. Yep.
So I have servers and computer boxes stacked everywhere. In my office, in the, you know, because I have my own office at my office. In my office, they're packed up. outside my office in the, you know, the building where other offices are. They're stacked up everywhere. You can hardly walk sometimes. There's so much stuff everywhere.
Yep. I actually probably started 2 months ago. Anytime that I saw a deal on Windows 10 computers, I got them. And they're all stacked up in the back of my office back there. I've got probably two rows, which is probably 20 computers just waiting for people. But everybody's waiting till the last minute. You know, it's, I know that I have at least 60 computers that I need to do at some point here soon. And I just got an email this morning, even though I was in the office, I didn't answer phones, but I read email and I only responded to emergencies and stuff. I got an email from a client that's not one of our monthly services. And they just said that they got a pop-up today saying that they won't have Windows updates anymore. What do we do?
Were they in QuickBooks or they just got it in Windows?
I have no idea.
I know QuickBooks has given that message to people.
It's the office manager who says, I have the message on my computer this morning that is of 114 Windows 7. It's got to be, she's the one that has QuickBooks in her office. So this has got to be, but she has a Windows 10 computer, so she wouldn't have gotten it. So it's probably the QuickBooks message.
Yeah, because I've got a few calls, and I'm glad they're doing it because, you know, we tell them that it's going to be end of life, but when you get a pop-up on your computer, of course, many people believe any pop-up on your computer, they believe over our professional advice.
Yeah. The other ones, this one that's like, you know, you've been hacked, you know.
Yeah.
But this one, you know, Windows 7.
That's believable. That's credible.
Yeah.
Because it's on my screen.
Yep. Not you telling me for the last 2 years.
Yeah. Mister. So I probably have, of all the ones, I mean, I can tell you on an average day, we might be ordering 5 computers a day. Some days, like a day of, what was it, last Thursday, Friday? I think we had to order like 30 computers. Of all the ones I've already done, and all the ones I still have to do, there's probably, I think, on quote, well over 500 computers that are out quoted that are probably going to be approved. Maybe 15 different clients with their servers have to be redone. Some, of course, have multiple servers. It's going to be absolutely crazy well into the summer for us.
You know what? I just looked at my dashboard in SolarWinds, which is only about half of my customers because half of them are not in the SolarWinds. 273 are Windows 7. Mm. Ouch.
And what I like to do is when we tell them that their computers are, you know, Windows 7's end of life and discuss options, I go in there, if they're in our dashboard, I go and print the client inventory report.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just usually go through and look at the age of the computers because they want to know, of course, can we upgrade them or what do we need to do? Right. And there was one client, they had 23 computers and 20 of them were over 7 years old. I mean, the thing is, 20 of them, and you look at the service tags, they ordered those at the same time. So they ordered 20 computers at once.
At once, right.
And then now they're like, well, that's not right. We wouldn't have ordered 20 computers at once. I said, well, you did. And I said, and you're going to do it again because you need them. So in 7 years, when you say that can't be right, remember now that you're ordering 20 computers at once if you wait 7 years again.
Well, they won't be saying that in 7 years because Windows 10 is the last Windows operating system.
That's true. So what will happen in the future is, yes, Windows 10 is supported, but the one that's supported is, you know, version 2405.
Right. Yep.
You have 2210. No,
you have 1903.
Yeah. That's not supported. Yes, Windows 10 is the last. I think that's that was the stupidest thing in the world to say that was the last version of Windows.
Right.
Yes, it's a different naming convention is all.
Well, and what's going to be funny is, I, you know, Windows is going to try to do what Apple does, where at some point you are going to have to upgrade. You're not going to have a choice. And that's where businesses are going to struggle with, you know, line of business applications that don't keep up.
Yeah. I had a client 2 weeks ago. They said, oh, got a ticket. We need to upgrade Peachtree. They were on like, I don't know what, they want to upgrade Peachtree. So I look at it, and the version of Peachtree, the doctor's system requirements don't include their version of server. And Frank, quite frankly, workstations, they had, they were running Windows 7 Pro 32-bit with 2 gigs of RAM and all their computers.
Okay, that doesn't sound unreasonable.
So that plus their old server, I say, okay, great. Here's a quote, and they use a remote desktop server. I said, okay, here's a quote for the server. Here's a quote for the remote desktop server. Here's a quote for a workstation. You're probably going to need, you know, 15 of them. So let me know, you know, give me the go ahead, or if you have any questions. You know, I got a question, right? So of course I said, no, we just want to upgrade Peachtree. Right. And your servers don't meet the specifications. Your computers don't meet specifications. So we need to email you, migrate your email to 365. We need to put in the new servers, put in the new workstations. And you know what? Then we can get your Peachtree upgraded.
Yep. I had that happen with a customer that's on a visual database that, well, they've got other issues because their server's starting to crash. So, and they have a, they have a small business server 2008.
Wow.
Running Exchange 2007.
Ooh.
So.
That's not good.
No, it's not. So he's supposed
I think I have some of those out there still too. Let me check this client my dashboard.
So he's supposed to have a meeting with his people and give me a call this week because he wants to. Here's what he wants. He wants to pay me this year, but not actually install it until January.
Yeah, we get those too.
So,
oh, hey, you want to pay in advance? Pay in advance.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's going to be, you know, if the labor, unless you're giving it one price, but if the labor, is going to be more, you're going to owe me money based on the difference. Because I never give a flat fee for labor. And if I do, it's going to be jacked up really, really high to cover any kind of unforeseen
right,
yeah. things.
Right. In this case, I've done upgrades for them before, and it's a small office. It's 8 computers and a server. I know approximately what it's going to take to upgrade them. So it'll be a high project, and I always do it so that I can usually come in $100 or more under what the project cost was.
Yeah. I usually always estimate and tell them this could be more, it could be less, but if they push me for a firm number, I go high.
Always go high.
Yeah. I say, you want a firm number, I'm going to have to go high because I'm not going to underbid it if you want a firm number. And I tell them that. I tell them, if you want a firm number, it's going to be higher than. You'll probably pay more if you want a firm number right. than if you just let me bill actual time.
So why don't we use this opportunity to bring back a segment that I thought would be a regular on the show. WWMD.
Oh.
What would Matt do?
I'd just go home. just go home early.
So I got a call or I got an email from one of my subcontractors last week. And I had to call him today because I need him to go on site to look at some power stuff in a server room. And he asked me again today. And here's his question, which I gave him an answer to in the email. But I guess he didn't like the answer in the email.
Okay. So it was already asked and answered already.
Yes. Okay. So his question is, he's got a customer that has Windows 7. And they want to do the in-place upgrade to Windows 10. Their computers are 5 and 6 years old. Do you think that'll work?
I mean, it'll work. I wouldn't I wouldn't recommend it. I don't usually recommend that, putting the money into an older computer.
Right.
And even if you were going to do it, no, I wouldn't do it. I had a conversation today with some clients. I'm like, your computers, if it's over 4 years, I'm not going to do it. You're going to end up paying, putting money in the older computer. You're not going to have the performance. I said, yes, I could put a solid state drive in, upgrade the RAM, buy the license for $200 or whatever it is. I said, you're going to end up spending $500-$600
anyway
on a 5-year-old computer.
Right. So I told him, unless the computer is less than 3 years old, which is when Windows 10 came out at the end of 2015. So I'd say if the computer is, you know, at the very worst, a 2016 computer, but I wouldn't do it because I don't do in-place upgrades. I can't remember the last time I've done an in-place upgrade. Worst case scenario, or what I said, best case scenario is if the computer is less than 3 years old, that's where you put in a solid state drive, new memory. You would do a clean install and then back up their stuff with Fab's Auto Backup. Otherwise, mm-hmm. if it's more than 3 years old, they're getting a new computer.
Yeah, that's my thought too, because you get a new computer, it's going to have a warranty. You're not going to, your warranty's out on the old one. It doesn't take long to install Windows 10. I don't like in-place upgrades.
And if something goes wrong, I said, first of all, you're going to have to spend all your time making sure you've got backups, because there are in-place installs that don't go well.
Right.
And yep. even though you have the option to go back, sometimes that doesn't work either. So now you're spending double your time, not just installing and uninstalling, but now you got to make sure everything works afterwards.
Right. I had that same email to a client today. She doesn't. Well, it's funny because the same one with QuickBooks, she got a pop-up and she said, "What's this?" I'm like, "Well, it's, I want to say, well, it's in English, so you can read it." But I say, "Well, did you notice that, like I've told you in the past, Windows 7 is end of life?" "Oh, I just want issues." "Okay, I just want to make sure this didn't concern us." I said, "It does concern you. You're running Windows 7. It's, you have four computers there running Windows 7. So this concerns you." "Yes." So let me get the whole thing about the, and her computer's 4 years old. And I did the same thing. I said, "Look, we can do an in-place upgrade. Like I said, but you're going to pay for the license on an in-place upgrade. And if it goes wrong," I said, "because I'm not saying it's going to go wrong." I said, "they usually work fine, but sometimes they don't. If they don't, I'm going to end up wiping and reloading anyway."
Right.
"So it's your decision, whatever your risk management policy states. Do you want to just get a solid state drive and put a clean install, in which case you're not buying a license, because I can use your Windows 7 code," I told her, "or buy the code and hope that it works." I said, "but if it doesn't work, you bought the code, you spent the hour for me to do the upgrade, and now you're going to start over with doing the wipe, you know, the SSD hard drive, the clean install. So it's up to you. You could do an hour plus $200. So let's just say $300, or we can just not take the risk, put a solid state drive in and do a clean install." She hasn't got back to me yet.
Well,
and she's worried about downtime. I said, "Look, you run Office and QuickBooks. That's it."
Well, no, she's, you know, got to have access to her Facebook and InstaChat and
is that a thing?
Is that? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Instagram.
But see, look, and she has Office 365, so I can put a drive in. I can load Windows. I can load Office. I can load QuickBooks. I can do all that pretty quickly.
Right.
So she's not even going to have that much downtime if I did it that way. For me, that's the way to go.
She wouldn't have any downtime if it was a new computer. You'd have it all set up before you got there. Or is it a domain station?
It's a domain. Yeah. Okay, but well, I mean, a lot of those places, when we bring the computer, if they can't be down, we'll just hook it up somewhere else in the building,
get it up
and
running.
Everything. Yeah. And then we just unhook it, hook to a new one. And then it's completely ready to go. And you just unhook and rehook.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, what clients love to say is, if I bring it to you Friday at 5, can you bring back it Monday at 8?
You know, and my answer, I did answer one time and said, yeah, I could do that, but nothing will be done.
Oh, depending on if I'm available, I say, yes, it can be done. It's just weekend rates.
Yep.
So it's just double time. I said, it's fine with me if you want to, you know, if I'm available. I said, fine with me. I don't mind helping you out if you want to pay the double time rate. Oh, well, I don't want to pay that. Well, then they know.
It's amazing.
You get what you pay for. Yeah.
I have not gotten that request in a very long time. Thank goodness.
Oh, I get it. But they usually backtrack when they find that it's double time.
Of course.
Speaking of working on weekend, I had to work on the weekend.
Stop it. You did not.
I did.
What did you have to do? Drive somewhere and unlock a door?
I had to do an email migration.
Really?
Yes. But I did it while I was watching the LSU football game, so it wasn't that bad.
Did you really do it, or did you? Because that football game was pretty intense.
No, I did it. I did it. Did it all that day.
How nervous did you get at the end of the game?
Okay, so see, I don't really care if LSU wins. What? I mean, yes, I'm from here. I'm from Louisiana. I'm in Louisiana.
You're used to losing. I get it. Yeah.
I hope they do good because it's Louisiana school, but I'm not one of these huge. It's the only LSU game I watched all year, and I probably won't watch another one unless they're in the championship game. I mean, I'm glad they won.
Don't they have to play in the SEC championship or something like that?
I don't follow college football at all.
You should.
I only watched it because everyone in the area is watching it. And it was a good game. Way better than the stupid Saints game.
Did they even show up for that game? What?
No, they didn't. God. Let's talk about that. That was ridiculous. That makes me mad. Oh, God.
Oh, aren't you glad we're not on video? Your face just went red.
Anyway, I did work on Saturday.
Okay.
Email migration. I didn't have to, but I helped them out because they have a retail store. And for me to get on their computers during the week when they have customers in there, I understand it's, and I, you know what? You know what kind of nice guy I am and very accommodating.
Of course. Yes.
I didn't even charge them overtime.
What? Wow.
Not quite. I bumped up the hours a little bit, but it wasn't nearly. I did an hour and a half per mailbox, but that was also uninstalling their old Office and installing Office 365 and the migration. I charged an hour and a half per computer.
How many was it?
It's only 6.
Oh, well. Probably finished that during the game.
I did.
There you go.
Although I let it all sync up and check it the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, aftercare, follow up. Do you have those? Do you have those line items on your quote?
I called them this morning to follow up, and really, I've never seen a company not use email this much. They did. They don't use their phones for email.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person has email on their phone over there.
Okay.
None of them had anything in the calendar. None of them had anything in the contacts. To them, everything worked on their computer. I called them. And they said, oh, yeah, I guess it's working fine. It looks the same. I was like, well, it shouldn't look the same because you had Office 2007. Now you have Office 365, but okay. As long as it all works. Yeah, they didn't call me back at all today. So now I got to start working on their server. They're getting new server and all new workstations.
Nice. Oh, wait a minute. So you just did the email migration so that you can get them the new computers?
So I put the new server in, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not doing a migration because, I mean, I'm replacing all the computers. So right. I can do the domain and all the workstations in my office and then just go
deliver.
Drop it in. Drop it in and copy data.
So I assume, was this a SBS server?
Yep.
So now you won't need that. So you're just doing a Server Essentials 2019?
No, I'm just doing straight Server 2019.
Standard?
Yeah.
You know, I did an Essentials one time. I won't ever do that again.
I never put it in because I've never heard good things about it.
Well, I did it for a 4-station network, but it's more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, straight Server 2019. I mean, they do have, well, I got 10 licenses because I have 6 people or 7 computers, 6 people. Anyway,
why not?
I did work on
that. Why not do Azure and do them in the cloud?
They run some of their retail stuff. There's weird programs that they use. They have to run on premise. I'm not doing that for them.
Mm. Yeah. The death of
they have like 15 different weird applications. It's a mechanic shop, not mechanic. Well, I guess marine shop, mechanic shop, boats, and they have all kind of parts programs. But they tell me that shouldn't be hard to migrate. I said, okay, is this based on your IT experience, or did you contact, like I told you, to support for the program? They said, oh no, we contacted the support, and they said that when it's ready, just take 5 minutes. I'm like, okay.
5 minutes.
Yeah, really. That's what they said. It's just like a simple export import. I'm like, okay, I'm taking your word for it. So if you're down for the whole day, that's not my fault.
Yeah, gotta love those.
I mean, 5 minutes. I do what I can, but you know, if they're gonna do that, and it's happened before, 5 minutes. Then you realize, oh no, your version doesn't work. You have a version 2.0 that doesn't work on that server. You got to go to 8.0. Here's the license cost, and here's this, and there's that.
Maintenance cost. Oh, you're behind in maintenance?
Yeah, behind in maintenance.
Gotta catch up.
Oh, we can't go from 2 to 8 because you got to go from 2 to 4 and 4 to 7 and 7 to 8.
Yep.
And that's a fee because you can't do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the benefit of having, when I had that problem for people who run QuickBooks.
Yes.
They're on QuickBooks like 2007, and they got to get a new version, and you can't go from that older version to the new version. And QuickBooks wants some ungodly amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
Do it. Well, luckily, I have a lot of accounting firms that have all those old version QuickBooks. I just log into their workstation and do it myself.
You should go from version to version.
I'll skip what I can, 2-3 versions, and I'll get it. And I charge them a lot less than QuickBooks wants to charge them, and I can do it right then too.
Right.
They say, "Oh, you're a lifesaver. How did you do that?" Like, it's magic. Even if I told you, you wouldn't understand it. I say, "It's high level IT stuff." Why do you ask when you're not going to understand?
So I had an office manager last week. This is a customer that I'm so frustrated with. They are still running RDP naked.
Oh, just put port forwarding in the router?
Yes.
Just straight to public? Oh.
Yes. And every so often they have days where people can't log in because of too many connections.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to log into the firewall, find the rogue IP, block it, GeoIP filter, whatever. And I have given them for 2 years a VPN solution. I've given them the very, very cheap software installation with the global VPN client that if attorneys need to use it at night, they would have to do that. But during the day, I would set up, you know, the VPN between the offices. And they don't need to worry about it during the day. But they don't want to make the change. Even if I do it for the office, they don't want to make that change because they want to use the same IP address when they're in the office and when they're at home. And I'm like, okay, well, if you set it up, they don't have to remember it. It's always going to be there. And they're right. Like, yeah, but sometimes, you know, people forget and we want to be able to give them. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So it's just been ridiculous. So his solution to me was, well, why don't you just show us what you do to fix the too many connections?
That's good. Just tell them to reboot the router. That'll clear it. Well, maybe not. I guess not permanently, but
it'll get them in right away.
Yeah. Okay. So I had the same thing happen this past week. Where
really the exact same thing?
Well, very similar. Let's just say very similar.
Okay.
Where this client was doing RDP to the public IP, and two of them were using remote access. And you know, they don't call us all the time, but they called us for something. And well, what kind of business is that? A law firm?
Yes, it is.
Oh my God!
Of course.
Okay. Okay, that's a good WWMD right there, because I can tell you what WWMD would do right there. So anyway, this client called something.
No, wait, don't say that. Tell us, because listeners are going
to
want
to
know.
I'm going to do it to this. I'm going to do the same thing. Okay, this right, client.
Okay, go.
Okay, they called for something, and I had to get into the router, and we have a document with the router login is, but we did not provide this router. We had to get into it like years and years ago because they needed something. So anyway, I get into it, and it's a piece of junk router. And I had a note from a long time ago that said, so-and-so, here's his name, here's his phone number. He put the router in, and he manages it. But he gave us a login in case we need to do something. So I'm looking around. I'm like, wait a minute. This is RDP over the public IP. So I asked her, I said, you connect remotely? Yeah. She said, I have my notebook here with me. I said, okay, right-click on that and go to edit. What's it say? Public IP, colon, whatever. I'm like, okay. I said, so I called that guy who manages the router. I said, why did you put this router in this years and years ago? He said, oh, because they didn't have one, and that was all I had in my truck. Okay, so they've been running this router for 7 or 8 years because that's all you had in your truck. That's a perfect way to pick a router.
Sounds like a Comcast-ish story.
Yeah. So I told her, you can't, I just told her, you can't use the router anymore. I killed the policy in the router. I just deleted it.
Boom.
I said, it doesn't work anymore. Oh, why not? I said, because it's not secure. Oh, we can't keep using it? No, I deleted the policy. You're welcome. I said, I get you a quote for a watch guard. Of course, she didn't like the quote for the watch guard.
Of course not.
And I said, well, that's fine. You don't have to do it, but you're not going to have remote access. So I killed it. I just deleted it. You're not doing it because I don't want to get the call that everything's encrypted when they hack you, because they're not doing backups.
They're not.
No. She doesn't want a backup. It's on her hard drive. She backs up on herself once in a while. I'm like, okay, great. I said, so I killed it. I just killed it. So that's what I would have done. I would have just cut it off. And I would have said, no, so I put the watch guard in and I showed her the thousands of attempts per day just on their little network. And I said, this is just like, so she didn't understand it. She wasn't too happy with it. But when I showed her the thousands of attempts per computer a day, she was very happy. I said, would you let somebody come sit at your desk and try to log on all day long? Well, no. But yet you do. They're just doing it from a different seat.
Yeah.
And usually when I tell a client, would you let them come sit here and try and log on over and over again, they all say no.
Of course.
But yet, and that's with that client. Do you let them come in here and log in?
Well, here's what's happening with them, because this is an office manager who thinks he's a tech. And I found out recently that they have been signing security assessments. It's another one of those insurance defense firms. And so the insurance companies have been sending them assessments and what, I forget what they're called, but the law firm literally has to sign saying that we will secure and protect your data, that it's backed up with encryption, that any secure connections are, any remote connections are secure, people's passwords are, I mean, there's all these things that they've signed. And so now I'm going to go to them at the end of the year and say, before we go forward with anything else, I know that you've signed documentation. And with the new security laws and the fact that the OCR, the Office of Civil Rights, is now going after IT companies, managed service providers, vendors that allow for breaches, I cannot support you unless we become compliant with the documents you have signed. So I will get the documents, and whatever they signed in those documents are things that we're going to do, and there will be no discussion.
And this stuff's not hard.
No, it's not.
I mean, you have a client, you click on, you open that, you connect, and then you run your RDP connection just with a different IP.
Right. That's if you do it that way. Or you do a portal, you do an SSL VPN portal that they go to and then have a secure connection through there. Mm-hmm. You do whatever authentication you need to do. You know, they didn't want to do two-factor authentication. Like anything that was an extra step was too much.
That's like locking your door when you leave the house.
Right.
Well, I don't want to do that step.
Yeah,
that's. I close the door. I mean, come on.
I don't need a key for my car. I want a door that just locks automatically.
Which, that's a bad example because they have that now, right?
I know. It is horrible. It is so, all these things.
But it does lock, right? You don't walk away from your car unlocked. The car is locked. Your house is locked. Mm-hmm. Your phone is locked.
Your computer needs to be locked. Your network needs to be locked. I even went so far as to, you know, trying to describe to him, you know, of course, you know, techie. And he's like, well, I've heard of VPN. I just don't understand it. I'm like, okay, how about this? You live in a gated community, right? He goes, yes. So your house, anybody in the world just can't walk into your community and then walk up to your door and knock on it, right? He goes, no. I said, that's what a VPN is for your network. Right now, anybody in the world can knock on your firewall, would knock on your computer because they can just simply walk right through the firewall. That's what
they can
do.
Or they can wiggle the doorknob and see if it's unlocked.
They just check and see if it's unlocked. And then, yeah, and then they're knocking right at the door. A VPN is that gated community with a guard that is going to basically check and see who's allowed in and who's not. Oh.
Here's what you need to do. You need to hire some homeless looking person. Get him into the building, sit him at a desk and say, here, just sit here and try and log on. Just a physical representation of what's happening virtually, right? Just say, sit here until they ask you, what are you doing? Say, well, I was doing it remotely, but it's easier if I just come sit here. Well, it's the same thing. Right. You know? Oh, you don't want that? Oh, but you want this. Just do that. Just have him go sit there and start logging.
That'll work. Do that.
Oh, this,
now I got to buy somebody lunch. I got to find some homeless guy.
And he'll probably do it for lunch. Yeah, you give him a, you know, Popeye's chicken sandwich. You know, you might want to do it.
No, I'm sorry. I'm waiting an hour and a half in a line to possibly fight somebody for a chicken sandwich.
There's no lines for that. I pass Popeye's all the time.
Have
I never see a line.
Have you seen the YouTube videos with the lady getting body slammed?
I saw that. But in my area, there's two Popeye's by my house, and I'd never see a line.
Okay. I don't even know where a Popeye's is. I'm not going to go looking for it.
So I said this VPN for this client who didn't want it. And now that she's got it, she's happy because she sees how much of a breach it could have been. But I said, okay, so with WatchGuards, I usually do an SSL VPN.
Right.
Right. On the notebook or whatever, you just load the SSL VPN client.
Yeah.
But it's different with iPads or iPhones. You can't use the SSL VPN. So I asked her, from what devices do you connect remotely? Oh, just my notebook. Okay. So you don't use any iPhones, iPads. You just use your notebook. Yeah. Just my notebook. Great. I set up the SSL VPN. I test it. I show how to use it. Today, this worked all last week. Today, you know, I forgot to mention, I can't connect from my iPad and my iPhone anymore. I said, well, forgot to mention, yes. I said, but I asked you specifically in this email if you use those devices. It's no big deal. I can go and reconfigure in parentheses, charge more to do the setup. But you ask specific questions, and they say, no, just not only does he not just connect from a notebook, she connects from her iPhone and her iPad and forgot to mention it. So I had to go create an IPsec VPN. I'm curious. The mobile VPN on a phone or iPad for a Sonic wall, what do you have to do?
I don't do them.
Oh, that's one solution.
So most of my clients actually only do the VPN from site to site. So we just set up the tunnels. And the ones that do it, the few, it's only select attorneys, and they use the VPN client software. So
from a computer.
Okay.
And so you've never had somebody ask to do it from a phone or an iPad?
I've had somebody ask, but when I told them what we had,
what you're we breaking had to do, up. What? You're what breaking it up. Cost. Sorry.
Yeah. Actually, so this reminds me of another client. So this is another client that I've been working with for over a year. So this is my big law firm. So because the one I fired, so this one I kept, and this is the one that they have. They have five terminal servers, four and one. Yeah, five servers because they have five remote offices. So each office has their own terminal server. And during the day, they have no issue. But at night, they want to have everybody connect. And when I say everybody, we're talking probably 50 to 70 people.
And so, before, those people are using their computers at the office.
Yes.
Are they desktops or notebooks?
Desktops.
Oh, you can't just have them connect back to their desktop? You might be covering this later on, but I'd probably have those users connect back to their desktop.
No. These are all branch offices that connect to a terminal server in the two main offices. So there's two main offices that are connected by VPN, and they've got a database that replicates, and they've got map drives that replicate. So four of the offices on the East Coast remote into the main office on the East Coast, and then the West Coast offices, branch offices, remote into the West Coast main office, and then they do their stuff across. And when I say East Coast, West Coast,
Florida.
Yes.
Of Florida. Yeah.
I don't want to confuse people here.
I know what you meant, but that would be confusing for people because y'all call West Coast and East Coast,
right?
You know, the country of Florida.
Yeah, if I have to go across Alligator Alley, I'm going to the other coast. And so they want to actually do much more stuff with their remote access. And I said, well, if you want to do that, then we need to put in a remote appliance because your firewalls won't support that many remote VPN connections with the software. It's just an overloaded. They're already doing too much as it is. They've got TZ 600s in the office. They really need to upgrade to the NSA, the enterprise level.
Well, don't you people have lives? If you're going to work, just stay at the office.
Well, that's what I tell, you know. So anyway, I gave him the price, and it was basically, I think it was $9,000 for both offices. And this is a big firm. This is, I mean, $9,000 is like, you know, a weekend out for the, you know, managing partner. So it's not like it's a big deal for 100-something people. But they don't want to do it.
Wow. So they just can't, when they try and do it, where they get lockups, they get can't connect.
Yeah.
When they try and. Not important to them.
No, it's not.
I'd probably say, look, we're going to give me, if you can support 20 or 30, I say, give me those 20, 30 people's names. And that's what I'm going to allow. I'm going to deny everybody else. That way we can have the best performance for the ones that you want.
So this is what I've been doing with them. Every time they need to do a major upgrade, I just keep upgrading the hardware to the point where I will get to the place I want them to be. So that when they finally ask me, I can say, oh yeah, well, we installed the hardware, or we installed that in anticipation that you would ask for that. So the next time that they have a major upgrade, for instance, the last upgrade I did for them was they were on Time Matters, and we had to do two servers in each office, a SQL server and then a file server. And I think each office was $30,000. So what I'll do is next time, I'm just going to add like 10 grand on each side and then install the networking equipment that we need.
They won't notice that?
They won't notice. Because I bundle it all together. Which is that's what we do anytime.
A value,
yeah.
Like a value meal.
We do a value. So anytime we do a server upgrade now, you're automatically getting, you know, the battery backup, you're getting a new switch. I bundle all that stuff together. I just tell them if we're doing an infrastructure upgrade, we're doing the whole infrastructure. So that's what I'm waiting for the next time they need to upgrade. We're just going to do it. And just say as part of, and then basically I can throw it in as the values, you know, as part of this upgrade, guess what you're going to get? That secure VPN connection that you've always
wanted. But see, they don't want to change the settings. They want to have the same IP. Well, I don't use IP. I always create a DNS entry for it.
Well, yeah, that's what you do. You get rid of the IPs. They don't need it. You give them a portal. It's a web address and boom.
Yeah, I don't like using IPs because they inevitably are going to get it. ISP is going to change their IP one day. Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Uh-oh. Do we need to stop?
No, it's a ticket that just came in. How often do you get this? I get a ticket. What did I say? Monday? I get a ticket Thursday or Friday. Hey, create this new account for this new user. It was Thursday or Friday. Today, cancel address. He's no longer here. I get it all the time. All the time. Sometimes I get tickets to order a computer for a new user. So I create the user account, get the Office 365 license, order the notebook. I get the notebook. I'm prepping it. Oh, he was just terminated. Disabled his account. I haven't even got the computer to you yet. He's already been fired. This happens all the time. You don't get that?
I get that.
But law firms, I think you would, because firms have heavy turnaround.
Well, they do. And I actually was about ready to commend an office manager who called me saying that, so we think we're going to be hiring an assistant in 2 to 3 weeks. Can you go ahead and start getting this stuff ready? And I'm like, beautiful. Yes. And so that was on a Thursday. And then so that following Monday, I said, okay, listen, I'm going to come out. We need to, you know, check the office where they're going to be, because that was an empty office that hadn't been made live or whatever. We needed to get a phone. I said, I'm going to order the computer. Oh, well, we're not going to do that now. And I was like, but you were doing so well.
Yeah.
But that's a company that, so what law firms will do, the smaller firms, is that they'll hire somebody and then they'll wait 2 weeks to see if they're going to stay or if they're good enough that they'll keep them.
But in that meantime, they're not logging in as themselves or having their own email.
This is what ticks me off is that they'll fire somebody, not tell me, hire somebody and use the old person's credentials.
Yeah, and I hate when that happens.
I'm like, but they're using somebody's email address.
Still had access.
Right. I'm like, then they're using somebody's, we just changed the name on the email signature.
Yeah. But the other person probably still has access to it.
Right.
On his phone or however he wants. Yeah, I hate when people. That's one thing I've found that companies don't have. Even if they do have a good policy, they don't follow the policy for employee terminations. Even hiring. I would like to watch these HR departments. You're hired. I'm not going to tell anybody. When can you start? In 2 weeks? Hey, start in 2 weeks. Good. Start in 2 weeks. Start Monday morning. I get a call Monday at 9 a.m. So-and-so's here and he can't work. I'm like, who's that? Oh, it's a new hire. Well, did you hire him this morning? No, 2 weeks ago. It's okay. Well, when I can get to it, I'll get to it.
Happens all the time with attorneys because they're taking attorneys from other firms and they don't want anybody to know. So they'll hire an attorney.
What are we going to do? Are we going to tweet about it? I mean, I need to know about this. If you want him set up and working, you need to let me know.
That happens. And I had a junior. So this morning when I worked the half a day, so junior basically has a couple of computers that he's having trouble with because in this firm, people change computers all the time. And this firm wants to have the computers named first initial, last name, so that this is that office manager who thinks he's a tech. So that way, when he needs to, assist somebody and he, remotes into their computer, he knows which computer to connect to. But the desktop, updated, yes. But the desktop guy that's there, people move computers all the time and don't tell anybody because the office manager will set them up, not tell their in-house IT. In-house IT has an issue. He calls me and I'm like, well, I can't help you. I haven't done anything. So he calls this morning. No, actually, he called and left a message because our phones were on holiday mode. And so I call him back and he's like, so this attorney showed up from the other office. And she told me that their office is moving at the end of the year. And I said, yeah. He goes, that's news to me. I said, news to me too. They're moving in an entire office and the office manager won't tell anybody.
Yeah. Because well, I'm familiar with that.
They don't want people to know that they're moving an office.
Yeah. That's a need to know basis. See, I don't like naming computers for people anymore. I don't like it because of that very reason. Hand it off, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, it doesn't make any point. I mean, why do users need to know what the name of the computer is? That's why Windows 10 names it some, even though I like it when it's a laptop and it's called desktop, whatever.
Yes.
You
know,
like, what? You can't even tell the difference between a notebook. You can't like do it in MSI or whatever, do my query and see it's on a desktop. Anyway, I don't like naming computers for people. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't, but this company does. But, you know, they're in SolarWinds, so all I do is basically do a search to see what their, you know, computer they're logged on to. So I don't need to.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I don't need to know the name.
Sometimes I'll give it the name, and then I'll just, in the description, I'll put their name. Right. But I can search for their login, too. Yeah.
But guess what this company uses for their remote support? Log me in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So for their remote support?
Yes, for their internal remote support, they use LogMeIn.
The LogMeIn Pro just got cheaper. Was it cheaper? I noticed that it was just cheaper than the price. It used to be. I thought it was like I could have sworn I saw it was cheaper than I thought it was. Okay, so look, it's already getting late, and we could talk for hours. But you know what? I do want to bring up. We talked about something on a past show.
Okay.
That we're going to bring up again. Remember the cord cutting?
Yes, the cord cutting. The one where I found out I was paying for stuff I didn't know I was paying for.
So I did it. I cut the cord for a different cord. I canceled DirecTV.
Really?
Yeah, because I had enough of them.
Uh-oh. Well, first, tell me what they did, and then we'll go into what you did.
Okay. Well, what they did is the same thing that's been happening since I got the service, right? So if a stray cloud passes over, I lose signal. Not even rain. Not even rain. I have a cloud pass over, you know, and I lose signal. I'm like, oh, geez, which is unacceptable during football.
Right.
Unacceptable. Anyway, so that's common. So when I first got the service, I had constant problems losing signal. And they said, oh, that's not normal. That's not normal. We're going to fix it. They changed the dish, the receiver, the location, equipment. They did all this for months. They kept changing equipment. Then one guy says, oh, that's normal. Like, wait. It's convenient that it's normal now that my trial has expired. I said, but why, if it's normal, why did y'all change all this equipment? Well, I'm not sure why they changed it, but that's to be expected. Like, okay, so you're telling me if I have a light mist outside, right, where I wouldn't even need an umbrella to go check my mail, that I should lose signal? Yes. I said, okay, fine. Anyway, I lose signal all the time. And it was a couple Saturdays ago. My wife likes to watch the Hallmark Channel.
Of course.
Of course. So it was a beautiful, clear day. But
Hallmark or Hallmark movie?
Okay. Hallmark, because I didn't have Hallmark movies.
Okay.
At Hallmark.
Because we have three Hallmarks, I didn't realize.
Right. Well, in my tier of DirecTV, I only had one.
Okay.
So every channel works fine, but that channel and one of the channel were very pixelated. It was just something wrong with DirecTV's feed of Hallmark channel. I called my mother. She's in a different town, but she watches Hallmark exclusively. I said, hey, is your Hallmark channel working? Yes, because I'm here watching it now. Great, thank you. I knew you would be, so yes. So I said, you know what? Reboot the equipment, which I knew wasn't equipment because every other channel works fine. So I reboot it. Doesn't work. So I say, let me just call them, see what they say about this. I'm sure they know about it. Hour and a half on hold. Hour and a half. No one picked up. And I had to leave. I said, that's it.
Was it outside of business hours?
No, it was a Saturday afternoon. I mean, I guess out of normal business, but the 24/7 support. So I said, that's it. I'm canceling. So I did. And right. I went with Hulu Live.
Hulu Live, yes.
That's and Philo.
Oh, okay. I've heard of Philo.
So I had to do Philo because Philo has channels that Hulu, and I tried YouTube TV. In fact, I still have a trial for YouTube TV I needed to cancel. But there's Philo is good because it has channels that Hulu Live and or YouTube TV does not have that my wife requires, such as the Hallmark channels, mm-hmm. three of them, Up TV, MTV.
Your wife needs MTV?
She does. She likes to watch people who make poor decisions on TV.
What? Is
like the 16 and pregnant and all the troubled family stuff. She likes to watch.
I was trying to think of the show that Puck was on. Real World.
No. Still on. These are real life people who make bad decisions. It's entertaining for her.
All right.
And I think there was something else, True TV or something. Anyway, it's
True TV.
It's only, I've never even heard of it. But it's only $20 a month. Now you do have to watch ads, but the interface is really nice for Philo. I wish that other interfaces were as nice. But $20 a month, and you get a bunch of channels that I couldn't get on the other thing. Now, I have since discovered that you can subscribe to Hallmark Now for like $6 a month, and you get all the Hallmark channels.
Yes, you can do that. Yeah, a lot of them are doing
commercial free, kind
of like CBS, where you can buy just their station of packages.
Yeah.
So, all right. So for Hulu Live, now did you do, because there's two versions of Hulu Live. So did you do the one that's $54.99 or whatever it is?
$54. What did I do? I did the one where you had the add-ons where the enhanced cloud DVR and the unlimited screens. Okay,
so you did, I don't remember what the price of that one is, but it's not.
I didn't see a more expensive option.
Well, then you're paying that one.
Yeah.
So you're paying, here's what it is. So they have a $44.99, but I added something. I forget what it was. I had to add something.
There's a $15 add-on where you can get the, I didn't add on any, like HBO or something, okay, but so, yeah. I did add there's a $15 upgrade for unlimited screens, enhanced cloud DVR.
Yes, that's what I did. Yes.
Yeah, I did that. I did have an aggravating phone call with Hulu support though.
Yeah, I did it all online.
Well, I had an issue. I had a question. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you use Hulu Live?
Yes.
Okay. So here's my question. I can go into my stuff, right? And I can tell it to record this series, right? But if I look in the guide on live TV, it does not have a little red, any indication that it's going to record, right? But if I click on the show and say record, I get a little red dot that says record. So I have a visual indication in the guide that is going to record. Does that make sense?
I don't record, so I don't know.
You don't record?
No, okay. I only have Hulu Live here at the office.
Okay. So my question to them was, should I see a little red record indicator in the guide if it's set to record because I have the series set to record? I said, because if I click the show and tell it to record, I get an indicator that it's going to record. But I want to know, I'm not seeing the indicator that it's going to record if I have the series to record. So is that expected behavior, or should I be seeing the record indicator? An hour on the phone, and they could not answer my question.
I,
So apparently you do not get an indicator.
I don't think the streaming services do that. Because I know that my Xfinity system does, but I don't know.
If I click a show on tilt to record, I get a little record indicator. But the series don't have it, but it does record, but there's no indicator. And as a civil question, I thought she'd be able to answer it. And she couldn't answer it.
All right. So you don't have an answer, so we need to put out the question to...
Well, I think the answer is you will not see the indicator.
I don't know. I had a couple people that, you know, sent me emails that had some stuff. Tom Wilmot sent me a link to an article on the best live streaming services. Jason Miller sent me stuff. Oh, speaking of, Mr. Miller, if you're listening, because I don't know if I'll remember to send this to you or not. So remember when we did the tally of who was using what services? Uh-huh. And Jason Miller touted the PlayStation View.
Yeah.
So a month ago, I was trying to get the, the NFL Red Zone. And I saw a thing that said, if you get PlayStation View, you'll get the Red Zone, which was a lie. So I got it and canceled on the same day. But PlayStation View, it was just announced just a few days ago, they're going to be shutting down that service.
Yep. In January.
Yep. Right after Windows 7 stops working.
Probably because all those servers running on server 2008. Now, I also did subscribe to Disney Plus.
Oh my God. All right. So you have Hulu Live, Philo, Disney Plus. Do you have Netflix?
I have Netflix. I have Amazon Prime.
I have Amazon Prime. I have Netflix. I have the CBS, which.
Oh, I'm going to do CBS All Access too.
I have that already.
Yeah.
I got my cable bill. I got my Comcast down to $226.
Wait, is that for as internet and TV or just?
It's internet, TV, a phone that I don't use. And movie channels.
So, okay, I don't have any movie channels. It's enough to watch. But my DirecTV bill was like $185 just for the DirecTV.
Okay.
And with the streaming services, I'm under $100. So I get more channels and I'm paying over $80.
But your internet is separate. So who's your internet through?
I have a fiber circuit through AT&T. That's $80 a month. That's gigabit fiber.
Okay, that's what I'm waiting to show up in my neighborhood. They've been saying that they're coming in. So the $80 a month fiber is what I want. And as soon as I get that, then I'm going to talk to the wife again. Because, again, now I'm paying for Hulu Live only at the office, but it might as well be through the house. But I've got Netflix, Amazon. I trialed YouTube, didn't like it. I trialed PlayStation, didn't like it. I trialed Sling TV, didn't like it.
Yeah, well, if you're going to do Philo,
Are you doing Disney plan because all those shows you can only see on Disney? Isn't there another Star Trek coming out on Disney? And by the way,
that'd be CBS All Access.
There's like three Star Treks out.
Well, no, okay, so I'm doing Disney Plus because my daughter really, really wants it. Okay. I wasn't going to subscribe to it.
All right.
But I guess as a habit, I will watch the Mandalorian series.
The what?
The Mandalorian series, a new Star Wars,
okay,
related thing. Star Trek's going to be CBS All Access, I believe.
So Star Trek Discovery, which I've been saving. Oh, my!
The Picard series is coming out.
My son-in-law actually sent me the DVD of the Star Trek Discovery first season.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll watch it on DVD. The wife's going to be gone for a while for a wedding that's coming up, so I may watch.
Yeah, well, I got it because I need to watch. I'm going to have to watch the Picard series. That's why I'm going to get CBS All Access. Okay, so I have to make a referral, recommendation for people. It's on YouTube. I would say go get a YouTube TV or YouTube trial or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Cobra Kai.
Are you watching that, really?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I watched some dude talking about that on our local radio, and I was like, who's watching Cobra Kai?
Oh, you know, that's a good show.
Karate Kid movies were on this past weekend. They were painful.
What was on?
Karate Kid.
Oh, well, okay. So you have to watch that in preparation for Cobra Kai. If you don't remember, it is painful. But I'm going to recommend Cobra Kai. It was one of the better shows I've watched.
All right. I've heard that. I just didn't believe it.
No, that's good.
So, yeah. So Karate Kid 1 and 2 I watched, and Karate Kid 3 was, that was the painful one.
You can't watch Karate Kid 3. Although, which one was the third one?
That's the one.
That's when is that when he joins Cobra Kai?
Wait a minute. Did he join? That's where the guy, the Steven Seagal guy, wanted to train him?
Yeah, that's when he joined Cobra Kai. He was with Cobra Kai then, okay. Yeah.
I didn't know he actually joined. I must have fallen asleep or something, because all I remember is that he trained with him and then something happened and Miyagi takes him back.
Yeah, they reference that in the series. So, I mean, the movies are good to watch because this actually, it's good. I recommend anybody who grew up around that time is familiar. Even if you did, it's a good show. Right. It's a good show. To understand, to see the backstory, though, is helpful, because it's funny how this is really them later on. You know,
so they play the same characters. Danny LaRusso plays.
Yeah, it's Ralph Macchio playing as LaRusso,
Ralph Macchio,
and it's the same guy playing as Johnny Lawrence. It's the same people. Yeah, it's good.
Wow. That's all I can say.
All right, I recommend it for sure to anybody.
All right, so I just went to go look real quick. We're going to have to find a way to do this show that probably nobody wants to hear except for like five people, and do a comparison on all these streaming services. Because here's the thing, if you do them all, the way to do them without commercials to get all access, you're going to be up to paying $150 or more at some point, because you know, you didn't count Amazon and Netflix in your...
No, I didn't. No, because I had that before.
Right.
I mean, if I'm comparing apples to apples...
Your CBS All Access.
Hulu TV is my replacement for DirecTV.
For DirecTV, okay.
Well, Philo and Hulu TV is my replacement for DirecTV, because I have all the channels and more with those two services that I did on DirecTV.
Now, are you running them directly off of the apps on the TV, or are you running them off a Roku device?
Okay, so I know I voted for Apple TV in that little poll, but I bought a Roku.
Good man.
Because I have hardwired connections in all my rooms, so I got the Ultra Roku.
Not the Roku 4, the new one, right?
The new one. So I got that. Now, in my office where I am right now, I just hooked up a third monitor. And I'm just doing it that way in my office. But my TVs aren't smart enough. Well, no. And at Philo, you have to have either web browser or Roku, I think.
Right. So here's how sneaky Comcast is getting. And in case they ever want to be a sponsor, I'm not going to. So I found this thing on my Xfinity when I was going through the remote, because I actually had to buy a new remote because I didn't want to go to them and have them charge me $4 a month or whatever it was. I just found one on Amazon. So I was going through the thing and they have an apps section on their Xfinity that you can actually, from your Comcast box, pull up all these apps. So I'm like, well, son of a gun. That's why all these services, I know they're going to start raising the prices on all these services.
Yeah, probably so.
Because Comcast, DirecTV, AT&T, or whoever they are, they're all going to basically, it's going to be a premium.
Yeah. Well, I like the streaming stuff more, because with DirecTV, I could never get the mobile apps to work. With Philo and Hulu, the iPad works fine. The computer works fine. So, like yesterday, watching football, I had one on the TV and I had one on my iPad going. So I was like, oh, this is even easier.
Yeah. So you got the Roku Ultra, which is nice.
Yeah.
HD 4K. Ooh.
It was on sale for $79.99 last week, too. I bought it then.
Wait, they have a Roku Smart Soundbar.
Yeah, I looked at that. That didn't look very... Because it's Wi-Fi only. So I like to use a hardware. Yeah, it's Wi-Fi only.
Oh, you have the Ultra LT for $79.99.
No, I had the Ultra. It was on sale.
Oh,
it was on sale. It was on sale last week for $79.99.
Oh, there you go.
It was perfect because when I was canceling,
you know what? Are these on Amazon? I need to make a link. So, folks, if you're listening and you want to go buy this stuff, I'm gonna go put, I'm gonna put Amazon links in my Amazon store so you can buy it. So the Roku. Yeah. Streaming.
It was an Ultra Streaming Media 4 player, which is right now $99. It was on sale for $79 last week. So it's, I have it in my cart again because I need to buy a few more. I'll wait for the sales for Black Friday.
And here we go. It's $87.98 right now. The Roku Ultra.
Where are you seeing the Streaming Media 4K? It's showing $99 right now on Amazon.
Well, here, let me send you this link. You can buy it. Let me put it on my store.
Are you sure it's the same one?
Roku Ultra. HD 4K HDR now includes premium JBL headphones.
Yeah. Wait, you on Amazon? I'm on Amazon.
This is showing me 2018. Maybe that's not the right one. This is another thing Amazon does. They trick you with stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, here it is. So, yeah, the 2018 version is $87.98 and the 2019 version.
2019, yeah,
is
yeah,
$99.
Yeah, that was on sale for $79 a week or so ago.
All right, we're here. I still want you to buy it off of the show link and give me.
Give me half
a percent off of that or whatever.
But it's been working fine, so I'm definitely happy that there's no more DirecTV because
I'm telling you, I think the best thing is to get a Roku and put it in every room.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. I'm going to have to do that. Well, yeah, I will.
Let's see. I should put this under, let me put it on tools and other stuff. And yeah, folks, we are shopping live, shopping on Amazon live. Here we go. $99. Move that up to the top. Done. And go to my store. You know what? There needs to be a way for me to do this better. I think I found a place where I can put one link for all this stuff and have people just go and do that. Here we go. Yep, Roku Ultra Streaming Media Player. Get a link. And I'm going to put it in the chat. There you go, my friend.
All right.
All right. And with that, we have, of course, gone over again.
Yeah, I put a couple minutes buffer. So, yeah, I'm good for the next minute or so.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much for joining me and doing your show. And we'll remind everybody. We are here on Veterans Day, so I hope that you took the time to give thanks and to honor the brave men and women that are serving in our military, and of course, those who have served, that you respect them and give them the honor that they deserve, doing what needed to be done so that we could be free. All right, Matt, any last words before we sign out?
Yeah, you know what? I did actually want to say something. Okay. So the informed IT, remember that thing?
Yeah, I remember that thing.
Okay. So I think we've talked about it before. I'm going to put a new discount code.
Yeah.
In there.
Okay.
That's going to be good for the rest of the year.
Okay.
And it's going to be for 50% off.
What?
So Podnuts was using, if you use the one Podnuts, I think it was 25% off.
20.
It was 25. So I'm going to do a new code that's going to be good through the end of the year for 50% off.
Okay.
And what's a good code? Let's think of one right now. How about Podnuts Pro? We'll just call this kind of code Podnuts Pro.
Podnuts Pro, one word.
One word. And we'll do that. It'll be for 50% off if you use that code. And for anybody who's never heard of it, it's just it's like a, I use like a checklist. Let's say you're going into a new client's office or an existing client. It's, if you follow these forms, you basically have full discovery of everything you need to remember to document. And on the site, you can download a free one. I think under Get the Forms, you can download a free form, the router form, to see if you like it. And they're all in that format. So, you know, if you download the free one and you like the rest of them, use the code PodNutsPro and you'll get 50% off.
All right. informedit.net. And informed tech is a better tech. So Matt has put together a complete set of forms that you can download that are fully fillable PDF forms. Every form that you will need to go out and do your network discovery and documentation, from router to server to domain. I think, what is there, like 30 forms in there?
Yeah, I have to go back and count again, but...
Yeah, so I will have that in the show note, or you can just simply run over to informedit.net. If you have not made a purchase before, you make a purchase now, and you will get an unprecedented 50% off using the promo code PodNutsPro. All right, and that'll be... So I guess this is going to be your holiday gift.
Yeah, it's like Black Friday starts early, or Christmas, however you want to look at it.
Black Friday, yeah.
And I'm hitting apply right now to that change.
And I heard, there it is. I heard the click.
There's no way I was clicking on anything else. That's what I was clicking on.
Well, that's going to do it, folks. Black Friday special from Informed IT. Your quarterly update from Matt Rainey with a very special WWMD bonus.
Whatever. Or you know, do it because I'm a veteran. I'll take veteran pity.
Okay. All right, folks.
What happened?
Well, thank you for downloading and listening. You have been listening to PodNuts Pro and today's guest, Mr. Matt Rainey. And we have given you some great stories. Hope that you go out during this week and have a great week. Be sure to go over to all the links that we'll put in the show notes, and you'll find that at podnuts.com, PodNuts with a Z. And this, I believe, is going to be show 238. And that's going to do it. If you have any questions, comments, show suggestions, email them to me at marvin@podnuts.com. Follow us on Twitter at PodNutsPro. And you can also find us sometimes over on the Facebook at facebook.com/PodNutsPro. That's going to do it, folks. Hope that you have a great night, great week, and a great holiday season. And until next time, holla.